a year it was, 2021, with Fight Night Picks. As always, one half of your hosting duo, Craig Allen. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Craig Allen FNP. With me, as always, to my left, to your right, Matt Allen FNP on the respective socials. And I want to thank everybody out there to start off the show 2021 with Fight Night Picks. We had so much fun coming up with content, doing the picks, the previews, the analysis, the fight companions.
He's holy missing smokes. A lot, though. He is missing a lot.
Oh! He put him down! Dustin Warren!
Beach card!
Question mark kicks, all of the crazy stuff that happens with this channel doesn't happen if it weren't for everybody out there. So I just want to get that out of the way. It's a cheap plug for the fans, but Matt, I really do mean it because you guys do drive the show. And for us here, I mean, listen, at the start of the year, we weren't even in this room right here. We weren't even making content here, and we're having so much fun. And I look forward to these year-end awards more so than anything that we do throughout the year. I've spent the last week coming up with this list, you and I working to refine it. There is going to be so many honorable mentions, it might actually make your head spin. But Matt, let's start the show off on the right foot. I want to thank the fans, and I know you're excited for the show. So what do you have for us?
Well, we've got some great awards to hand out this week, or this show. And let me give you a little bit of a pat on the back, because you kind of won your own award that, I don't know if you want to give it out now, I don't know if you wanted to wait till the end of the show, but I feel like we can give you your flowers. I'll let you have your little acceptance speech for 1 minute, because to your credit, this was a big comeback. This was like LeBron James in the 2016 finals. So there, take your moment.
I mean, I was down and we did a little bit of a preamble for the very last card of the year. You had Lewis, you had Dawkus, and there was a point in the year I was down 8 picks. I was actually down 10 or 11 at one point this year. Managed to come back, but that's neither here nor there, Matt, because we have a big time show coming up this year. And actually, I want to throw it back because we've got a lot of commenters out there this year. Akash Deep, you're out there. Dave Baker's out there every week making his picks, so on and so forth. And again, you guys really do drive the show. So if you can, when those videos come out, make sure you toss down your picks. Let us know who you have. Post your records. And it's water off a duck's back, because there are going to be people out there. They're going to beat us. It's going to happen. It is just the way that it's going to go. And I want to see if you do. So let us know down there in the comment section. But Matt, when we really dive into it with our year-end awards, we're going a little bit outside of the bounds of what we usually talk about. Now, we are going to have the same awards that we had last year with the show. And if you missed on those, the best part about it is I've got you covered. I went back and watched last year. I looked at all the nominees that we had, and there are a lot of them that are notably omitted. So for this year, we are going to be giving you the Male Fighter of the Year Award for the non-champion out there. The Female Fighter of the Year Award, non-champion. You've got Male Champ of the Year, Female Champ of the Year, Most Improved Fighter of the Year, Comeback of the Year, Move of the Year. Can you talk about that move of the year a little bit? It's one that's a little contentious with some of the fans.
Well, there's so many great picks this year to pick from. Like, we really had a hard time just sort of coming down with this list, and it is kind of hard to figure out what the criteria is for move of the year, but I think what we came up with is, what was, A, the thing that made you jump out of your seat, but also the degree of difficulty? For instance, we have Andrea Muniz and his submission over Jacare. Maybe just an armbar might not be all that impressive if it just happened on the prelims of some random fight night, but to go out there and submit somebody like Jacare, you know the level of skill that requires, so that's something that we had to take into consideration too.
Gym of the year, trainer coach of the year, performance of the year, most anticipated event of the year, round of the year, fight of the year, rookie of the year, and analyst of the year. And I don't think, Matt, and I'm dead serious, in the three, now into the fourth year of Fight Night Picks, that we've had a more contentious award, period. And I threw it out there on Twitter, I threw it in the YouTube community tab, and we'll be referencing that a lot during the show, because the fans, again, you guys are driving this one. We'll talk about the votes for these awards, but for analysts of the year, my purpose, Matt, was to not go cookie cutter of, okay, it's Daniel Cormier, it's Dominic Cruz, it's Paul Felder, it's Michael Bisping, and that's the list. See you later. I wanted to go after some of the less mainstream people out there. And listen, there's a lot of people that go by pseudonyms. There's a lot of people that are, you know, it's an umbrella of just one website. But we're going to try our best to give some shine to some of the people that really do deserve it. So I couldn't be more excited about this list. I absolutely love all of the candidates, everything that was brought this year. We had a wild year in MMA.
We really did. So as we like to say on this channel, Craig, let's get into it.
kick off the Fight Night Picks 2021 year-end awards with one of the biggest awards that can be given out. This is for your 2021 Male Fighter of the Year non-champion category. We do it a little bit differently than I think most every other channel, because for most channels they go 2021 Male Fighter of the Year, you're going to have champions, you're going to have non-champions, and it's such a difficult list to try and narrow down. So we go with two different ones. Here's the tricky thing. Our candidates, and you saw them before we clicked over here, Max Holloway, Islam Makhachev, Chris Curtis, Corey Anderson, and Tai Tuivasa. There are a couple of fighters on this list that have had wild career arcs. Actually, three of them, really, because for Chris Curtis, Corey Anderson, Tai Tuivasa, the writing has been on the wall at multiple different periods of their respective careers. But this is what makes this list so interesting, because there are so many names that were thrown out there, especially in the community tab. We're going to be talking about your answers, your results, and so on and so forth. Here are the list of honorable mentions that I have for this one that dwarf the five that we have here. I have Ricky Simone, I've got Vicente Luque, Adrian Yanez, Terrence McKinney, Dustin Jacoby, Jose Aldo, Mateusz Gamrot, Bruno Silva, Giga Chikadze, and Sean O'Malley as contenders for Male Fighter of the Year. That's why this one was so difficult to narrow down to just five. And the crazy thing about our awards this year, we're going to try our best not to have overlapping awards. You're not going to see as many people thrown up there for multiple different awards. Charles Oliveira is going to be a giant exception. But for this one right here, Matt, for Male Fighter of the Year, I mean, we've got Holloway, Curtis, Tuivasa, Anderson, Makhachev. Each one of these guys, I'm not joking, has a very, very legitimate stake to this claim of the title.
They really do, and it would be very difficult to argue against any of them winning this award. It just depends on what do you value more. For instance, I would say Max Holloway probably had the hardest level of competition, or for maybe the biggest profile fights on this list. Of course, he fought Calvin Kattar, which was kind of the early favorite for Fight of the Year, definitely early favorite for Performance of the Year. And then he had that crazy fight with Yair Rodriguez, another Fight of the Year nominee. So for Max Holloway, he went out there and had two of the more memorable moments of the year. So those have to be weighed very heavily. Now, with Chris Curtis, he probably had the craziest 180 arc of anybody on this list, because like you've said before, he went from retiring in the PFL not that long ago to knocking like elite middleweights out cold in first and second round performances.
So if you look at everybody, again, Max Holloway, two of the biggest fights you can have, Kattar and then Rodriguez, both main events, both top tier featherweights in that division. Chris Curtis, so he starts out 2021 with XMMA1. I watched that entire card. It was free on YouTube. Great production values, former Bellator fighters, UFC fighters, beats Kyle Stewart that was in the UFC, beats Juan Ramon Grano Medina, finishes him. Finishes Jerome Hatch. Beats Kenny Robertson by decision at XMMA2. Comes into the UFC as one of the biggest underdogs you're going to see. We didn't pick him to win. Listen, we had the man himself, Clint, Diehard MMA Pod. He picked Chris Curtis to win.
Philip Hawes taking on my guy, Chris Curtis. This is the spot to keep your eyes on. I took a big bet shot on the underdog here. We've got Chris Curtis plus 260 coming in. I got a half unit on the knockout prop at 6-1.
Chris Curtis wins. Then he goes out there and fights Brendan Allen. Gets counted out by, again, the guys at Fight Night Picks, but most people. Chris Curtis, you were there, you were in the chat, and listen, you ragged on us. And good on him, he beats Brendan Allen and finishes him. Chris Curtis, again, you win six fights in a year and coming off of retirement again. Yeah, he fought in 2020, beat Darren Smith Jr., but Chris Curtis, wild year. But for Tai Tuivasa, man, this guy, again, lost to JDS, lost to Blagoy Ivanov, loses to Sergey Spivak, picks up a win and knocks out Stefan Struve twice in 2020, but his 2021 was insane, and he's made big progression in his game, too.
I gotta be honest, Tai Tuivasa is not gonna win this award, but I am really glad that we're shouting him out, because he's a fighter who had a lot of hype behind him going into that Junior Dos Santos fight. That was a main event in his home country. There was a lot of promise around that, and he came up short. He didn't look very good, and he gets knocked out. Okay, well, what do you do after that? He has a weird fight with Blagoje Ivanov where he loses. It was a competitive one, but still, it wasn't that great. And then he loses to Sergey Spivak. And let's be honest, Craig, we both thought it was over for Tai Tuivasa. And not only did we think it was over for Tai Tuivasa, he was, like, kind of cut by the UFC, but also brought back. There was that whole strange situation. So he went from not even really being with the organization only a year and a half ago to then rattling off four straight wins, three of them being stoppages just this year. It's crazy to see the career resurgence that Tuivasa's had. And the most important thing about Tuivasa and his 2021 is that he's really changed the public's opinion of himself. Or I know he's changed my opinion of him. Hopefully I'm not speaking for you, but I thought Tai Tuivasa was just one of those kind of fun bangers, if you will, at the heavyweight division where he can win any fight, he can lose any fight. But now I feel like he has really made those improvements and he can at least be a steady top 15 fighter.
And it has to be said too, I mean, for his last fight against Augusto Sakai, UFC 269, the fact that he didn't train at home in Australia, he had kind of a custom-built training situation in Dubai, he had to stay there for months on end, like, it was just crazy how he was able to parlay that into a giant win over Augusto Sakai. We also have Beast in 25-8, Corey Anderson, a guy who, listen, when the mountain's high, he's winning the Ultimate Fighter at a very, very, you know, having a low amount of pro fights. He had that great experience wrestling in college, but really for Anderson, he had really high highs and really low lows. So again, he beats Pat Cummins, Glover Teixeira, Lear Latifi, and Johnny Walker, and then fights Jan Blachowicz in a title eliminator and loses. Then he gets cut from the UFC. So is it cut? Is it free agency? It doesn't matter. He goes over to Bellator. He beats Melvin Manhoff in 2020. And you go, okay, well, that's a good win that you need to have against a guy that's really a 185er at the end of his career to be nice. But in 2021, I can't tell you the progression I've seen from Corey Anderson. Not just on the mic, as a personality. He has a bit of a desk job with Bellator right now. To beat the dark horse of the Grand Prix in Dovletsan Yagshimuradov the way that he did with his wrestling, and then to get the win over Ryan Bader in a great fight his last time out, that was just in October. Corey Anderson looks like a problem at 205 pounds of Bellator, and honest to goodness, his fight against Nemkov, like, that's must-see TV in 2022.
It's going to be a phenomenal fight, but that's the thing about Corey Anderson. It almost feels like his 2021 isn't quite finished yet. You know what I mean? Because he still does have the Nemkov fight to get over, and then that's when his 2021 will finish. He's going by a different time than the rest of us. But no, for Corey Anderson, I'm glad that you started it with this. He hasn't only made the progression in the cage, but on the mic, he has got a lot better, not just with calling out opponents, but just showing his personality a little bit more and becoming sort of just more of a likable figure, to be honest, because that is such a big part of this sport that people don't often talk about. Like, yeah, it's great that you're a really great competitor and you've got good wrestling, but people also want to see your personality so that they have something to cheer for or against, and Corey Anderson has done a really good job of at least making himself polarizing, and like you said, he has a great opportunity to get a world title in the not too far away future, so it was a phenomenal year for Overtime Anderson.
And for Islam Makhachev, last but not least, you talk about a guy that it was periods of inactivity over his career, an inability to get the fights that he needed, because this is a guy that only has one loss to Adriano Martins years ago where he gets cold cocked and knocked out. You look at his 2021 where he finishes Drew Dober, finishes Thiago Moises, finishes Dan Hooker, and it's not just that he finished him. Like, these are some of the most powerful finishes and performances that we've seen from a fighter all year, and that's why he makes this list.
We didn't prepare for this, but I guess I'll throw it off to you quick. What year was it that Peyton Manning and Adrian Peterson had both missed the previous year, and then they were both almost MVP?
Couldn't tell you. Wrong
anyway,
sport.
It's wild that Islam Makhachev went from not fighting in 2020 to potentially being Fighter of the Year in 2021. Like, that normally doesn't happen. Normally when you miss a year, you have a little bit of ring rust. You might have a bit of a disappointing performance. Maybe you win, maybe you lose. And then you start getting things together. It's wild that Makhachev is able to have these lengthy times off or periods of inactivity. And then he comes back and looks like the world beater that we all know he can be. And the great thing for Makhachev is that he might have been Fighter of the Year in 2020. He could have been Fighter of the Year in 2019, maybe. He was just never given those high-profile opportunities throughout his career. But we finally saw this year. He gets his first main event. He fights Dan Hooker, who's a big name. We finally get to see him put in those big, high-profile situations. And he was able to come through each and every time.
Well, from the fans out there in the YouTube community tab, it was thrown out there with these fighters. Now, you can only get five, and you have to go other. Explain below. So we had Tuivasa, Holloway, Curtis, and Makhachev, Beast in 25-8. Did make that list, but he is here. And out of the votes, 21% with Tuivasa, 28% Holloway, 17% Curtis, 28% Makhachev, and 6% for other explained below. From the comments section, Akash Deep, rolling with Chris Curtis really impressed me against Phil. I didn't see that coming. We also have Alvaro that said Matheus Gamrot. We had him as an honorable mention. BB saying Ty became a fan favorite and legend this year. And then Stay Dedicated saying, how does Bam Bam not win it? There's so many fans out there that voted for this one. To the tune of 2,000 plus, now comes the time for our vote on this one, Matt. And for me, you can't go 6-0 and have giant underdog wins like Chris Curtis and not win this award. For me, it's the most impressive guy that we've seen as a non-champion. Chris Curtis all of a sudden becoming not just the hardcores guy, but really a guy that the casual fan would know. And if you look at it right now, somehow, I guess surprisingly, in the UFC's rankings at middleweight, wow, you don't have Chris Curtis there. You have Kevin Holland. You have Chris Weidman. It's an absolute travesty. But for me, Chris Curtis, he's my 2021 Fighter of the Year.
I really like the pick. And honestly, I was kind of siding with Chris Curtis. But the more we started talking about it, like in the last 5 minutes, I think Islam Makhachev is getting my pick for Fighter of the Year. And this is the only reason why. It's because he kind of had the Chris Curtis-ness to the start of his career. And then he started getting those ranked opponents this year and was really able to capitalize on all those big opportunities. It's very rare that a boogeyman finally gets the chance to knock down the door and sort of greet all the fighters. And he was able to do that. He looked amazing against Dan Hooker. And I thought he was going to have a lot of trouble in that fight. He submitted Thiago Moises, who, okay, maybe if he didn't fight Joel Alvarez, that would have been a lot more impressive in hindsight, but you get the idea. I do think, though, that this award comes down to one of these two fighters, either Curtis or Makhachev. It's nothing against Max Holloway, but he had two very good fights, but he only had two fights, and that really was the problem. So I do think that you have to either give it to the one who had the three pretty much flawless performances, or like you said, the guy who went 6-0 in 2021.
Well, let us know down below in the comments section. There are definitely no wrong answers on these awards. We want to hear from you. I've got Chris Curtis here, Matt going with Islam Makhachev, and we have so many more great categories coming up. And for our 2021 Female Fighter of the Year for the non-champions, five very deserving candidates out there. You saw them before, but Amanda Lemos, Casey O'Neill, Marina Rodriguez, Yamena Fyodo, and then we also have Andrea Lee, who, you want a wild career arc at 125. She went from losing three straight to becoming a contender once again, and in the minds and hearts of so many fans out there. But we threw this one out there to the YouTube community, and listen, about 1,500 of you voted for this category. Lemos with 12%, O'Neill with 14%. Marina Rodriguez running away with 50%. Manon Fiorot at 15%. And for other explained below, 9%. Andrea Lee, again, we're constrained by the amount of people we can have on here. But 9% other explained below. We have Snake Forest saying Casey O'Neill had a fantastic year. One of the most exciting females on the roster. Think I'll go with her. Drew Cliff 82 saying Casey O'Neill and Marina both had amazing performances. The big difference for me is that Marina did it against top tier competition. O'Neill would get her chance to do the same. And if we go down through it a little bit more, Jacob Forster saying Santos has impressed me the most. And if we talk about it, Matt, and we look at the honorable mentions for this category, Tyler Santos had an amazing year. Shit. And another name that popped up again and again, and it was for Rookie of the Year too. And I want to get this out of the way. Casey O'Neill, Manon Fiorot, both rookies. We're not going to consider them for Rookie of the Year because there's so many rookies. That's why they made it. Like, they made it on this list. I could have them on both lists, but we're trying to give so many people the shine they deserve. Fiorot and Casey O'Neill for rookies. Holy smokes. Blowing the doors off the competition. And for both of them, against good competition for Manon Fiorot, her next fight's against Jessica Eye. So, Matt, I open up the floor to you. We have so many deserving ladies in this category.
We really do. This is a very, very competitive category because there are so many great choices. But I gotta be honest, I do feel like this is one of the more clear-cut winners or clear-cut or deserving champions of any of these awards. Marina Rodriguez had one of the great years in 2021 because she went from being a good fighter and someone who you were always excited for her fights because they were exciting to becoming straight up elite overnight. And maybe it didn't happen overnight, but you know how every division division has the champion, then there's the top three. There's that group of fighters who on any given day could fight for the title and could possibly win the title. Like, in welterweight, for instance, you've got, like, Gilbert Burns, Vicente Luque, Colby Covington. Like, those are three fighters who on their best day could quite possibly beat somebody like Kamaru Usman. Marina Rodriguez is now kind of one of those fighters. I feel like she has put herself into that elite part of this division to where it's not just Rose Namajunas, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and Weili Zhang just fighting each other back and forth. I feel like Marina Rodriguez is going to get her opportunity to fight one of those three big title challengers or champions in the near future.
So for Manon Fiorot, we talk about her every... We bring her up so much, and
yeah,
it's not just women's MMA. We talk about Manon Fiorot a lot on this channel, and for her, she fights Victoria Leonardo, finishes her. She finishes Tabitha Ricci, who comes in on short notice. She beats Maeda Buena Silva. She's going to fight a former title challenger in Jessica Ai coming up this spring, or late in the winter, early in the spring. Amanda Lemos went from finishing fighters like it was crazy, and then her last performance, did Angela Hill beat her? Yeah, she probably did. Maybe she did. I thought she did. But regardless, Casey O'Neill goes out there, and honest to goodness, I gotta say this, because I know Casey, her father, they watch the program. They're familiar with White Knight picks. I have this to say. I wasn't sold on Casey O'Neill coming into the UFC. I watched all of the fights on the regional scene. I just didn't really know what we were going to get. I knew the wrestling was good. I wasn't sure how the striking was going to be. But beating Shayna Dobson, Laura Procopio, and Antonina Shevchenko, and all by finish, man, Casey O'Neill has an incredibly bright future. A big fight in February, the retirement fight of Roxanne Modafferi. It's going to be absolutely insane. I can't wait to see it. Casey O'Neill, a wonderful year. And for Andrea Lee, like I said, she went from losing three fights in a row to this year finishing Antonina Shevchenko and Cynthia Calvillo. And Calvillo was a short notice fight. She was supposed to fight Jessica Ai. She has a bright, bright future ahead of her. Maybe a fight with Caitlin Chookagian coming up in 2022. But yeah, we got to give the award away on this one. Matt, get the award. Marina Rodriguez for beating Amanda Ribas by finish. And I went back and watched UFC 257 and get ready for this show. That fight was absolutely insane. I mean, Ribas looked good in that first round until she started to slow a little bit. And then you had Marina Rodriguez finding her counters. And then all of a sudden, really fooling not just her opponent, but Herb Dean into the finish. Your World MMA Award Referee of the Year last year, even though that fight factors into it. But we'll talk about Herb a lot later on in the show. She beats Michelle Waterson in a flyweight fight in a main event back in the spring. And then she fights Mackenzie Dern in October. I was in the hospital with a blown up hand due to the wasp sting. If Fight Night Picks fans remember that, I was sitting in the emergency room watching that fight on my phone. And I have a lot to say about Dern in that fight, but Marina Rodriguez, again, against the odds, she was an underdog in that fight. To get that win, she looked absolutely amazing. She was so dominant this year. Our 2021 Female Fighter of the Year award goes to Brazil's Marina Rodriguez, Matt.
Hopefully you're happy with winning, Marina. Shout out to you. You had a great year.
Way to go, Matt, at a loss for words. And we have so many more categories to go on. Let's throw it over to another big one. Male Champion of the Year. I came into the show looking to mean business over the holiday season. I grew a horseshoe mustache. And now we're getting to brass tacks. 2021 Male Champion of the Year. And again, this is another award where the list of honorable mentions is a mile long. And the champions were very, very active this year. And when I look at the five that we have in front of us, I could make a case for any of these five guys, if you will let me. The trouble with a couple of them is they only fought once this year, but they do deserve to be on this list. So we have Oliveira, we have Ray Cooper III, we have Brandon Moreno, we have Kamaru Usman, we have Volkanovski. My list of honorable mentions, if you will allow me, Matthew Bonner over with Cage Warriors to get the wins that he had to win that belt to beat Nathias Frederick in his last time out. Matthew Bonner, holy smokes, what a year he had. Arjan Buller, again, billing him as the first champion from India to win with one championship by way of Canada, Arjan Buller deserves to be an honorable mention because I never thought he should have left the UFC. Now, again, he leaves as a free agent, so on and so forth. But man, the career arc that that guy's had from being, you know, kind of a prelim guy that uses wrestling, maybe not the most fan-friendly style, to becoming a superstar with one championship, Arjan Buller, I couldn't be more pleased to have him as a champion in the year 2021. Again, Aljamain Sterling got a couple of votes out there in the community tab. Glover,
that's like Ben Simmons getting all-star votes.
Glover Teixeira, I mean, what a year he had. Again, the guy just defies the odds time and again. AJ McKee for the way that he beat Pitbull. Holy smokes. And Roberto Soldic killing a legend his last time out there. But Roberto Soldic had an amazing year as well. So props where they're due for those honorable mentions. Now, Matt, I'm going to say this and I'm going to throw it on over to you. This seems like an award to me that seems somewhat clear-cut. And I said, again, inactivity last year was a reason why it was pretty easy to pick a winner. Now, this year, Alexander Volkanovski had a fight of the year with Brian Ortega, but he only had one fight. Brandon Moreno became the first champion from Mexico in the UFC with a great finish over Deiveson Figueiredo in the rematch. They have the trilogy fight set, but he only had the one fight. Ray Cooper III is a guy that, listen, if I laid my cards on the table, I would probably pick him, but he beats Jason Poney, he beats Nikolay Oleksiakhin, he beats Rory McDonald, and then he finishes Magomed Karimov.
Wild comeback.
To me, is he my champion of the year? He's not everybody's, and this is where I'm going to leave it, Matt. We threw the vote out there over in the community tab. We have over 2,000 votes. 38% voted Charles Oliveira. 46% voted for Kamaru Usman. Matt Usman finished two of his three fights and beat Colby Covington his last time out there. And then if you look at it for Charles Oliveira, he beat Dustin Poirier not that long ago. He beats Michael Chandler to earn the belt back in May. I'll throw it on over to you this way. Two of these guys, it's pretty well, you know, almost a lock. Ray Cooper III was down in votes. I've got him up there in my top three, honest to goodness. Who is your winner for this award?
So Ray Cooper III had a great year, and he went 4-0, which was very impressive. But my problem is that his level of competition, I don't think, really reached the level that Kamaru Usman's did.
Just one of them.
Exactly. For Usman, he went out there and beat Jorge Masvidal and knocked him out standing. Very impressive thing to do. He takes Gilbert Burns' best shot, gets hurt by him in the first round, and then finishes him in the second round. Oh, and to end his year off, has one of the best fights of the year against his biggest rival. That's a pretty good year for a champion to have. And this is always wild, and this is something that's always stood out to me. It's when GSP was champ, he openly said, I don't really like fighting more than once every 6 months, because guess what? When I'm not fighting, I make money off just being champion. Like, George St. Pierre, the champion, makes a lot of money just being himself through endorsements. Kamaru Usman fought three times this year. It is so rare for a champion to go out there and defend his belt three times in 1 year, especially nowadays, for him to do it. Remember how quick those first two title defenses were? It was like Masvidal, one other pay-per-view, and then, oh my goodness, Kamaru Usman's out there fighting Gilbert Burns again. Like, it really has to be said for Kamaru Usman, not only how impressive his year was in the cage, but he's done a great job kind of shifting the public's opinion of him, because Usman was one of those champions who, yeah, he was champ, but he was kind of boring, and people didn't always like watching his style. Then he knocked out Jorge Masvidal, and that highlight gets shared every single day on Twitter and Instagram. Then he knocks out Gilbert Burns, another finish, and then again, he has another phenomenal fight to end the year. I don't know how you can't give it to Kamaru Usman.
The comments from that community tab, the top one from Poten Singh, Usman, nah, Oliveira was an underdog in both fights, went through adversity and got spectacular finishes. He may not be the most dominant, but he's the real champ IMO. And if you look at it for the man himself, Charles Oliveira, he's got himself up to number 5 in the UFC's pound-for-pound rankings list.
Impressive.
Couple more comments over there. Daryl saying Olives of finishes every fight. And then we also have a few different ones. I mean, listen, Covington should have got a draw against Usman. I don't necessarily agree with that. And then you've got Home Wreck and Knee Knocker saying Usman beating up on washed up has-beens and bloated 155ers doesn't impress me for some reason. Guys, gals, and everybody out there tuning in, for me, it has to be Kamaru Usman, your number one pound for pound champ, finishing two of those three fights and then not playing it safe and having a knock him out, drag him out type of fight against Colby Covington. You could see it either way. Maybe had it a draw, maybe had it Covington, maybe had it Usman. But man, he has had such a dominant 2021. Cue that award up, Matt. Ooh. Our 2021 male champion of the year, Kamaru Usman. And listen, a guy who he's 34 now. What does the future have for him in store coming up next year? I mean, will it be a fight against Khamzat Chimaev? Maybe a Leon Edwards fight? There's so many different guys up there at 170 that are starting to climb that ladder. I can't wait to see it, but Kamaru Usman, the most dominant match. Charles Oliveira, if this is the trophy, I mean, we got the prediction MVP behind us. Like, Oliveira deserves some shine, too.
He really does. He had a great year. Like they said, for him to be the underdog, not only to get the title as the underdog, but to defend it as the underdog is really impressive. But if you've been following along Charles Oliveira, you can't be that surprised that he was able to finish guys like Michael Chandler and Dustin Poirier, because all Charles Oliveira does when he's in the cage is finish people. So he had a great year, but all the champions had a great year this year.
Absolutely amazing year. Let us know down below in the comments section who you have for your male champ of the year. The Fight Night Picks award going this year to Kamaru Usman. And what a year it was for our category here. 2021 Female Champion of the Year. And listen, we have five deserving candidates, and I will talk about them at great length. Again, you've got Juliana Pena. What an insane career arc from winning the Ultimate Fighter Season 18 to being counted out by everyone, us included, odds makers, so on and so forth, to winning that Bantamweight title in her last fight. Absolutely insane stuff. Juliana Pena is looking like she's going to sink up the choke.
Yeah, Nunes.
She won!
Nunes must be hurt.
Oh my gosh!
That's wild.
Juliana Pena's your champion of Bantamweight!
Your boy called it.
Wow! We have Valentina Shevchenko that just never seems to lose. Chris Cyborg, who continues to run roughshod through the women's featherweight division over with Bellator. Great finishes over there. Rose Namajunas, are we just passing the belt through? Like, who's going to win it this weekend? And now, all of a sudden, Rose Namajunas has definitely cemented herself as the true blue number one in the busiest division in the UFC for the women at 115. And then Kayla Harrison. She's champion. She's champion. She's champion. She wins. She wins. She hasn't lost as a pro. It's absolutely insane. And the market value on Kayla Harrison is through the roof. Yeah. And with Amanda Nunes losing to Juliana Pena, does that hurt Kayla Harrison? Maybe in a roundabout way. Or it helps the fact that maybe Nunes just forgets about the belt at 135 and goes after it at 145. Our honorable mentions this year. 145-pound Amanda Nunes. She beat Megan Anderson at the start of the year. So shouts to her. We also have Ayaka Hamasaki, who's got a big fight coming up at Ryzen 33, but already the atomweight champ over there. She definitely deserves some shine, and I think Drake Riggs probably would have hit me up in the DMs if I didn't mention that one. We also have Alicia Zapatella, an insane year for her. She continues to rack up wins over with Invicta. Stamp Fairtex, underdog in that one championship Grand Prix, ends up winning it, and she had a wild year. And then we have Zhang Xingnang over with one championship, a good year for her as well. But Matt, with the five that we have in front of you, Pena, Shevchenko, Cyborg, Namajunas, Harrison, I mean, again, another division where we can make a good case for any of these five.
We really could. The only issue is that it is really hard to figure out who the winner is in this, because you do have to judge, okay, level of competition versus how many times they fought this year. Because for Juliana Pena, she beat the greatest women's fighter ever, arguably the greatest women's athlete ever, really, in Amanda Nunes. And she was able to do it as such a big underdog. So you have to put a lot of stock into that. But on the other hand, Kayla Harrison fought like six times against a bunch of women that she was definitely going to beat. And that's the problem with Kayla Harrison. Like, I gotta be honest, I think she's the best women's fighter in the world right now. I really do. I think you could put her up in the cage with any other woman and she would beat them and she'd probably finish them. The only issue is that, like, her best win this year was probably Cindy Dandois. And that's not a great thing to say about somebody when we're trying to say that they were the champion of the year. It's not a knock against Kayla Harrison, because she can only fight the fighters who are put in there against her. But she's a minus 700 every time out there. And she's so dominant that to this point, I'm not that interested by her.
But that's not her fault.
No. I know it's not her fault. But I just think that you can't give her this award because she's never been in there with somebody who is on her level. Whereas Rose Namajunas fought Wei Li Zhang twice. Wei Li's one of the better fighters out there pound for pound wise. Their first fight was an incredible first round knockout in the first minute where she was able to trick the champion, hit her with a head kick, super beautiful stoppage. And then in their rematch, again, one of the better fights of the year, kind of similar to Kamaru Usman, Colby Covington ending the year with a big bang. So I weigh that very heavily with Rose Name Eunice. I know she did beat the same athlete twice, and for some people that might turn them off of giving her the female champion of the year, but to me, I thought she had a phenomenal 2021.
And if you look at it for Valentina Shevchenko, the kind of the same thing can be said for her that's said for Kayla Harrison. Exactly. She beats Jessica Andrade. Probably the fighter that had the best shot at beating Shevchenko would have been Andrade at 125, and she finishes her on the ground, then she finishes Lauren Murphy, and that was a knock-em-out, drag-em-out type of fight. And listen, Lauren Murphy was our 2020 Female Fighter of the Year for the non-champion category, so that has to be said. Lauren Murphy, a wild late stage of her career. But I look at this, and listen, we look at the votes over in the community tab, Matt, and we had 1,700 total votes. Cyborg, 2% of the votes, and for her, in her 2021, she fights Leslie Smith, finishes her in the fifth round. She fights Sinead Kavanaugh, knocks her out in a minute and 32 seconds. Juliana Pena, 20% of the votes. Kayla Harrison, 3% of the votes. Rose Namajunas with 19%. Valentina Shevchenko with 55% of the votes. And over in the comments section, M Cover saying Shevchenko is on another level. No other woman can beat her right now, not even Ben Askren. Ben Askren, I don't know. I don't know if he can.
I don't think he can strike with Valentina.
He's having a hard time beating eggs in a pan at this point. It's very difficult for him. P. Manny saying Shevchenko for consistent dominance. Chris Cyborg needs to get back in the UFC. She has no competition. And so on and so forth. So many different comments out there. But overwhelmingly, as I go down through it, a lot of Valentina Shevchenko. Again, she commands 55% of the 1,700 total votes out there. So, Matt, I have to ask you, you seem like you might have tipped your hand a little bit, but Harrison went 4-0 this year. Juliana Pena with a big title fight. Shevchenko with two fights. Cyborg with two. And Rose Namajunas with two big fights. So the most active fighter was Harrison. Least active, Pena, but probably the biggest win out of anybody there. Who is your pick for this one, and can we agree on our title winner?
I was going to say, are you going to pick Shevchenko? Because if so, I will agree with you. But if you don't pick Shevchenko, I think I might give it to Rose Namajunas.
Rose Namajunas,
okay, perfect.
Is our 2021 Female Champion of the Year. Because again, we talk about this. Did she have as many fights as Harrison? No, I actually have Harrison way up there. I'm talking like she's my number two on my list ahead of Shevchenko because... Again, it's not her fault that this is who she's getting matched up with.
Exactly.
And watch her fights. She hardly loses a second. Like, it's insane to watch these Kayla Harrison fights. And it's not her fault that there's not competition like that out there, especially in the heavier weight classes. Even if she came over to the UFC, she had that test fight at 145 at the end of last year with Invicta. And listen, she won that fight overwhelmingly. So if we move forward again and you look at her year that she just had, she beat Taylor Guardado. That was her win to get the championship for what? Another time
out
there?
She was a minus 3,500 favorite.
She was a giant favorite. Juliana Pena's right up there. Shevchenko's up there. This is a difficult one. But Rose Namajunas beating Zhang Wei Li in the rematch, getting the win that she was able to get. And then the way that she was able to beat her at the start of the year, I don't see how you couldn't go with Rose Namajunas here.
And she set up a big 2022 for herself. Like, the women's strawweight division is probably the best women's division in the UFC right now. So if Rose Namajunas can schedule, let's say, I don't know, a third Joanna fight maybe. Like, there's some sort of money fights at this division that not other divisions can make. So I think Rose has set herself up very well for 2022.
We have so many more great awards coming up and some that are a little chintzy that you're not going to want to miss. So let's move into it. Today's episode of Fight Night Picks and the year-end awards are brought to you by Brass Knuckle Brawlers. And I'm really excited. They partner themselves with UFC fighter Terrence McKinney. You know, the guy that's up for a couple of different awards with us this year. And they're really doing something neat over on the interwebs. Now, when we focus on NFTs, a lot of the time, this stuff just goes absolutely over my head. But I had a chance to check out some of the work that the guys are doing over with BKB. And listen, Bare Knuckle Brawlers is an NFT project of 10,000 unique pieces on the Ethereum compatible, you know, proof of stake, Polygon network. And like I said, they're officially partnered with UFC lightweight Terrence McKinney. They're giving over $90,000 in roadmap prizes. And for every NFT purchase, you're going to receive an additional NFT for free from a secret collection. Now, a lot of the stuff that they have over on the website is really neat, and it's one of those ones where I was excited as soon as I heard about the opportunity to kind of talk about the product that's out there. And Matt, when you look at the NFT world, it's so neat to see somebody that's kind of moving into the space of combat sports, right?
It really is. It's something that like the NBA's taken full advantage of with stuff like Top Shot. So it's really cool that it's finally starting to make that transition into MMA. And what better guy to associate yourself with than someone like Terrence McKinney, who's such an up-and-coming star right now.
So listen, buying this NFT will give you access to the Fight Club, which allows you to play their video game. You're going to get access to the community wallet, chat and private message boards, get insight for the roadmap 2.0 with avatar NFTs and earn project tokens. So realistically, the mint price is only 25 Matic. And when you look at it, the mint date, it's TBA as of right now, but it's going to be sometime in late January. So listen, they give away cash daily on their Discord. All you have to do is join. And I'm looking at some of the stuff over there right now. And again, I haven't been the biggest guy on the NFT train, but as I see it moving and big name stars involved, it's one of those ones where, did I get on it day one? Maybe not. But hey, I'm here and I'm really, really interested in it. So give them a shot with BKB Brass Knuckle Brawlers. Check them out over on their website. We got a link down below to their Discord as well as their website. Really interesting project if that is something that kind of floats your boat and turns your crank, as they say, because that NFT project is just absolutely blowing up. So check them out, Brass Knuckle Brawlers. Link down below in the description. You let them know if you find them on the social medias that Craig and Matt sent you. And I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, it should be a really fun partnership. I'm looking forward just to learning more about NFTs, to be completely honest.
All right, Matt, well, we have a lot more awards to hand out. Big ones still left to cover. So as we always say with Fight Night Picks, let's get into it. The Fight Night Picks 2021 Most Improved Award. And for the fighter that's going to win this award, I got to say this off the hop. This is probably the most difficult award to give away, because you're going to have fighters that are amateurs on the regional scene that are deserving of this award. And I'm not joking. There's fighters on the prelims of the Bellator cards that could definitely earn this award. It's very, very difficult to come up with a top five for this one. And you could throw a book at us with honorable mentions that are deserving. The five fighters that we went with: Charles Oliveira, Francis Ngannou, Giga Chikadze, Mackenzie Dern, and Nasruddin Imavov. And Matt, when I look at this one again, those five are very difficult, and I had a hard time even throwing the honorable mentions up there. So again, I would like to hear from the viewers and listeners out there, the podcast fans out there on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, who you have for this award, because there's a runaway winner in the YouTube community tab. 1,200 total votes from yesterday into today, 67% going with Charles Oliveira. But when we go into the comments section, most people actually disagree with that, saying that, listen, we have Bilal saying Oliveira or Olives got good a while ago. We just didn't notice it until lately. And that's kind of the thing with Charles Oliveira. Again, commanding that big of the vote share. He always had those pieces. It was just kind of bringing them together and winning against consistently good and ranked competition. That was the problem. That really was.
It was, but when we don't know how good you are until we do know how good you are. And for Charles Oliveira, we did wonder, okay, when he does get in bad positions in fights, when he does face adversity, how is he going to look on the other end of it? And then Michael Chandler knocked him down, probably got a 10-8 round against him in the first round of their fight, and he knocked him out to start the second round. And then Dustin Poirier dropped him in the first round of their fight, probably got a 10-8 round against him. Oh, and then he stopped him in their fight. It's just, Charles Oliveira not only made technical adjustments, he almost made like a mindset adjustment, which is the most incredible thing, because people talk about this a lot. It's that championship mindset, championship confidence. Like, Rafael Dos Anjos, I remember, was the first guy where this term was used a lot, because it was, oh, he lost to Khabib on his way up, but now he's got championship confidence. I'd love to see that fight again. For Oliveira, he was always good. Yes, he always had those skills, but now he's got that championship confidence. And you always say something about Oliveira, and I think it's a very good point. You always compare him to Deiveson Figueiredo, because those are two fighters who use their additional resources and invest in themselves. Like, Fred VanVleet has that quote, bet on yourself, bet on yourself. Because when you bet on yourself, good things are going to happen. And that's what Charles Oliveira did. He got okay, I've got these opportunities, I'm making a little bit more money, what am I going to do, what am I going to do with this money? Am I going to be like Martin Vittori and just hang out at cool Italian restaurants and drink a lot of espresso? No, I'm going to build my own gym, I'm going to help my community.
That might seem like an insensitive joke, but if you watch the UFC embedded into his last fight, they actually did that.
No, Mervin seems like a neat guy, but for Charles Oliveira, he like built up his community, built up those around him, and invested in himself, and I really do think that that paid off, because we are seeing those improvements in the cage.
And when I look at this award, again, Charles Oliveira gets a lot of the shine. Giga Chikadze in 2021 finishes Cub Swanson with the Giga Kick to the body and finishes Edson Barboza in a main event. And listen, Charles Oliveira, great story. Giga Chikadze using the tools that got him to the game. And listen, Kings MMA never really gets enough of the shine. They do with guys like Marvin Vittori, but also with Giga Chikadze. And if I'm giving out this award, I'm giving it to the Georgian fighter in Giga Chikadze. Wow. Because the reason is, for Oliveira, he had that burn of unranked fighters, fighting Nick Lentz for, you know, the seventh or eighth time, fighting good fighters, and then getting Tony Ferguson last year, and then really making his mark in this division, earning the title, so on and so forth. I think he is deserving, had all the tools. Giga Chikadze goes from fighting, again, Irwin Rivera, he fights Omar Morales, who is a very good fighter, beats Jamie Simmons, who comes in on short notice last year, to fighting Cub Swanson and Edson Barboza, and beating Edson Barboza at striking at every different facet of the game. That, to me, is a guy that has gone on a wild trajectory up. His next fight is the first UFC card in the main event of this next year in 2022 against Calvin Kattar. To me, my winner is Giga Chikadze. This guy, again, nobody's testing him on the ground.
Because he's not great.
Because he's such a good stand-up artist. And the last time we really saw him testing on the ground was against Austin Springer, because Giga thought he could beat Austin Springer on the ground.
I have to disagree for this reason alone. Charles Oliveira was the underdog in both of his title fights, and he was still able to win. Like, we had this guy as Fighter of the Year and Champion of the Year, and he wasn't even in the title picture to really start the year. He just beat Michael Chandler and Dustin Poirier. So I really do think Charles Oliveira should get this award. I know people might say, oh, he could have been this fighter before he got the big-name opponents, but again, we didn't know until we do know. And I really do think Oliveira deserves it, because he knocked out a great striker in Michael Chandler and then showed the striking improvements against Poirier. Because in the Poirier fight, yeah, he gets dropped, he gets clipped, but then he starts making reads in that fight. He starts going to the body a lot more. He not only made adjustments throughout the year, he made adjustments throughout his fights. And that's why, for me, Charles Oliveira is my most improved fighter.
Matt giving the award to Charles Oliveira. I'm giving it to Giga Chikadze. We got to break the trophy in this case. But I want to hear from everybody out there. Most improved fighter of the year. Very difficult category to go with. And we have a lot more great categories coming up that you're not going to want to miss. For comeback of the year, another difficult one, because this could span all the way up from amateur MMA athletes on the prelims to your big time fights. But we have a 5-set that we have for contenders here. Charles Oliveira beating Michael Chandler. That was absolutely insane. You have Kennedy and Shuku beating Carlos Ulberg in a fight that, A, he almost got finished. And you could say the same thing for his fight against Daniel Marquez. Like, this is a guy that just seems to come back in fights. And for Kennedy and Shuku, a wild, wild one. That was also on an Adesanya card. He had the Ulberg connection, so on and so forth. But he picks up a giant win. Pat Sabatini beating Jamal Emmers after pretty well getting his clock cleaned in that one. Then Jamal decides to play on the ground, and Sabatini goes, no, I know leg locks, it's all right. Clay Guida against Leonardo Santos at nearly the end of the year, where Santos had him done, but Keith Peterson said, hey, Dominic Cruz is in my head now. I'm going to let this fight go on a little bit longer. Guida comes back to get the win and submit the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu specialist. Again, for comeback of the year, I have a couple of more honorable mentions. Whether you thought Holly and Paiva beat Kyler Phillips or not, he did get 10-8 in the first round and came back in the second and third round. And Adrian Yanez over Randy Costa. I mean, Costa was piecing him up against the cage. Yanez comes back, finishes him in the second round. Our other nominee, Matt, and listen, I'm going to tip my hand early on this one. Sergio Pettis was down bad against Kyoji Horiguchi. That's the only one of these title fights. And he came back with a spinning back fist knockout. That's my winner for comeback of the year. In a title fight, to be the underdog when you're defending your belt to win in that fashion, that's comeback of the year.
Sergio Pettis didn't win a single minute in that fight, but he somehow won that fight. Like, it's one of those weird... You ever look at, like, an NBA box score and you're like, well, they shot less threes, they had less assists, they had less rebounds, they won, though. That was Sergio Pettis against Kyoji Horiguchi. He got taken down. He got hit by big shots. He didn't land a single punch. And then he threw a head kick followed by a spinning back fist, and the rest is history. It's kind of like how Blue Jays fans whine about how, oh, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. would have been MVP any other year. Just Shohei Ohtani had such a good year. All these other fighters could have that argument for this comeback of the year. Oh, well, my comeback was really good, Charles Oliveira might be saying about his fight with Michael Chandler.
And that was also a title fight.
And that was. But that was a fight where you still had some good moments up until the finish. I know he got hit by a big shot, but he was still doing all right in the striking. Sergio Pettis was down 4-0 and then landed the Hail Mary of all Hail Marys. So I don't know how you couldn't give it to Sergio Pettis.
And I mean, listen, Anthony gets all the shine for the Showtime kick, but that wasn't a fight finishing sequence. For Sergio, a wild, wild one. And listen, will we get a rematch for the fight? Do you think we will in this one? Do you really think we will?
Well, I mean, they got to go through the tournament, so hopefully we can get that matchup in the future. But like, the bantamweight division over in Bellator is on fire right now.
It absolutely is. So for Pettis, he gets that win in the fourth round against Horiguchi, and one where his corner never gave up on him. Same thing with all of these fighters in there. You see Saif Saud yelling at Kennedy and Shuklu just about every single fight. You got to get in there. Killer mentality. He does it against Ullberg. You see it for Oliveira with his corner. They know exactly what to do. But for Sergio Pettis, your 2021 Comeback of the Year Award winner, you let us know who you have in this one. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of love for Sabatini, for Guida, for Oliveira, for Nshokwu. But Sergio Pettis running away and keeping his belt. I can't wait for that Grand Prix. And the rest of the awards that we have coming up, Matt, as we always say with Fight Night Picks, let's get into it. If MMA Analyst is our most contentious award on the year, and we saved the best for last, so check that one out, as always, in the description. There's timestamps, there's chapters now on YouTube. This is probably the second most contentious. Move of the Year with Fight Night Picks is an award that we give away each year, and the reason being is because there's so many knockouts, there's so many submissions, but you never see award shows giving away awards for things attempted in a fight that actually work out that don't finish the fight. So Anthony Pettis' Showtime kick would be something that you consider a move of the year. And that's why this one gets a little bit tricky, because last year we had Mamed Khalidov with the jumping scissor kick that he had against Scott Askham. It just so happens that this year, for move of the year, there's submissions and there's knockouts and there's no really other moves. So for this year, we have Andre Muniz submitting Jacare Souza.
I'm telling you this right now. Jacare is not going to get submitted by Andre Muniz.
Matt said it could never be done. It happened. We have Jiří Procházka's elbow that he landed against Dominic Reyes. Holy smokes. Chris Barnett's spinning wheel kick knockout over Jean Vellante. Now, the wheel kick dropped him. Barnett goes in there, fists are flying, and finishes that fight. So is it the move? Is it the knockout? We can have it in move of the year. We also have Ignacio Bahamondes' kick from hell against poor old Roosevelt Roberts that sent him away from the UFC and reignited the hype around your Chilean prospect of Ignacio Bahamondes fighting out of Valley Flow Striking Systems in Chicago. And then we also have our Comeback of the Year Award winner, Sergio Pettis' spinning back fist over Kyoji Horiguchi. Matt, this is one that, again, is so contentious. The vote over there in Fight Night Picks, I only put it out there 7 hours ago. 50% have Prohashka's spinning elbow, 29% have Barnett's spinning wheel kick, 10% on Pettis' spinning back fist, 7% on Muniz's inverted armbar. Some of the honorable mentions, Claudio Poyas' knee bar over Chris Grützmacher. He's taking knees, he's taking checks.
Is it really that impressive to knee bar Chris Grützmacher, Craig?
Corey Sandhagen's wild knockout of Frank Yeager. Marlon Vera's wild front kick to Frank Yeager. Randy Brown's, one-arm guillotine that he had, or choke that he had over Alex Oliveira. The list goes on and on. I mean, hey, Let me add a couple more. Brandon Moreno finishing Deiveson Figueiredo. Who else? Charles Jourdain's body kit to end his last fight. Like, I have so many that I could list, but Matt, I know you and I actually agree on this one overwhelmingly, and we don't agree with the crowd.
Because here's the thing. I'm glad that MMA fans can at least agree on one thing. Everybody likes spinning shit. Everybody. I know it's a term Nick Diaz coined, but like, everybody can agree. Spinning elbows, pretty cool. Spinning back kicks, great. And spinning back fists are really good too. It's kind of like slam dunks. Like, all slam dunks are really good. But you know what makes a Nate Robinson slam dunk so great? It's because it's the last guy in the world that you look at and think, oh wow, he can catch an alley-oop, finish over a center, like, with two hands behind his back. That's how I felt about Chris Barnett's spinning back kick against Jean Volante. Yeah, throwing a spinning technique is really impressive, but when you are as heavy as a heavyweight is allowed to be, at less than 6 feet tall, and you're able to go out there and land a spinning back kick, like, that's ridiculous stuff that you just never think you're going to see. And yes, I know with Chris Barnett, you know that's a weapon that he can use, but you never think he's going to land it in a UFC fight. So for me, I think that was my most impressive move of the year.
Jiří Procházka's elbow on Reyes and his impressive performance is going to earn him a title shot. We know this. He'll fight Glover Teixeira. It's all good. But when I look at it for Barnett, this is a guy that was fighting on a pay-per-view card. Joe Rogan was there. It was Jean Volante's send-off fight. But for Barnett to land that after the performance that he had against Ben Rothwell, albeit on short notice, and a guy that Bleacher Report was saying, hey, this is your next big UFC heavyweight. In 2014, for him to do that now, that earns our 2021 Fight Night Picks Move of the Year. Your winner, Chris Barnett. And to add the icing on the cake, he did a flip, landed on his butt, and put his hands up in the air. It was an amazing celebration for a very, very fleet of foot, short and big. It's like if George Costanza could do this in the heavyweight
division.
He's
so light on his feet for the size of him.
So much fun. So our move of the year going to Chris Barnett for the spinning wheel kick finish that he ended up earning over Jean Volante. Man, this one is contentious. So you let us know down below in the comment section. Are we crazy? Does Procházka deserve the credit? Who else had a crazy move that we or you guys, the fans, like, listen, there's fights going on every single weekend in every part of the world. Link some of them down below and let us see some of those crazy finishes and crazy moves. And we will move on with our 2021 awards for this year. An honorable mentions list that goes on till the end of time. We've come to Gym of the Year. And this one is very, very difficult because some of the mega gyms have champions. Some of the smaller gyms have now gained champions. It is a very, very difficult list to narrow down. So I'm going to talk about the honorable mentions. We have New England Cartel. You've got Rob Font. You've got Calvin Kattar. Kattar's got a big fight coming up next month. Rob Font didn't win in his main event against Jose Aldo, but don't forget what he did against Cody Garbrandt. And there are a stable of fighters with the New England Cartel and even, you know, by extension, Lozons that deserve some shine. We also have Elevation, Jackson Wink, MMA Masters, UFD over in Germany, Evolve, because everybody that fights for one championship fights out of Evolve. We have Kings MMA, Alliance, Syndicate, Nova Uniao, Rufus Sport, Team Alpha Male, the MMA Lab. Those are all honorable mentions. You could lump other gyms in there, and I wouldn't discredit it because this is another one of those ones that's so difficult to award. So, out of our five, American Top Team, Sanford MMA, Florida's own, Fight Ready in Arizona with Eddie Cha, Santino DeFranco, Extreme Couture, and City Kickboxing, Matt. Last year, City Kickboxing, our winner for this category, and I have such a hard time with this one this year.
This is a really hard award to give away, and honestly, you can give it to any one of these five, and I couldn't really argue against it, because look at someone like City Kickboxing. For instance, Adesanya has a great year. Brad Riddell has a phenomenal year, but Dan Hooker didn't have the best one, so it really depends. Like, how much do you want to weigh the pros with the cons? Like, the same thing can be said for American Top Team. They have guys like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Amanda Nunes, all great names, but they all had at least one signature loss this year, which isn't great. But when you look at someplace like Extreme Couture, they've almost got like the Lifetime Achievement Award at this point, but it's felt like a little while since Extreme Couture has really had those top profile fighters in their roster, because for the longest time it was kind of the Misha Tates of the world, those wrestle boxers who, they were good, but they were sort of stuck in a certain prototype of a fighter, and they really had a hard time breaking through. But now you've got people like Francis Ngannou training there full-time. Brandon Moreno is in and out of Couture now. Like, there's so many good fighters and at least a consistent pool of really high-level fighters there that I feel really comfortable giving it to Extreme Couture.
And Matt doesn't even mention, I mean, Sanford MMA, a big stable of stars and champions. But again, some people have moved around. Usman's no longer there. He's with Trevor Whitman. So when I look at this one, for Extreme Couture and coach Eric Nixick, and that's a tricky one. We have Gym of the Year, then we have Trainer Coach of the Year. Eric Nixick isn't actually nominated for Trainer Coach of the Year, but for the gym itself, Vegas has become such an interesting hotspot, which will lead me into Trainer Coach. But we'll start with Gym, because now all of a sudden Syndicate and Fight, or not Fight Ready, and Extreme Couture, and even Fight Ready in Arizona have been a hotbed for fighters to come in, train pre-fight, and then make their way into Vegas. And in the case of Extreme Couture and Syndicate and the other gyms in Vegas, it's just so convenient. With Couture, though, to have a guy like Francis Ngannou to come in, start training, you get the, you know, the Black Cobra striking system influence of one Dewey Cooper. And you know how much he doesn't like the sleeve and he likes to keep his arm up in the air when they walk out. But for Ngannou to make those big leaps and bounds in his game, to be able to manhandle Stipe Miocic in the wrestling and finish him in that fight, not just that, but the other stable of stars that they have and the cast of characters that are in and out. You see pictures of Merab there, Aljamain Sterling there, like Cody Stamen's there. Like, there's so many fighters that train there, and the results that Nixick's able to get this year, yeah, we're going to give it to Extreme Couture, our 2021 Fight Night Picks Gym of the Year, going to Nixick and everybody over at Extreme Couture, Ray Seyfold that's been there forever, Matt. I mean, such an interesting kind of year that they've had.
They really have, but like you said, they've always been a good gym, but now they have champions associated with them, so now it puts them over the edge. So, great year for Extreme Couture, and the good thing for them was they did kind of fall behind, let's be honest. There was other people like Jackson Wink, American Top Team, like these super gyms that were starting to build up these massive roster of fighters, but it's really nice to see Extreme Couture kind of reestablish themselves as one of the better gyms in MMA.
Couture doing a great job in 2021, and for City Kickboxing, I mean, Adesanya, you got Volkanovski as champion, Sanford, ATT, still power houses, and Fight Ready, Santino DeFranco and Eddie Cha. Hey, listen here. Figueroa trains there now. Zhang Weili trains there now. John Jones is training there now. Yuri Prochazka's expressed an interest to train there. You got Henry Cejudo helping people out.
Legit roster.
It is really, really growing in the Phoenix area. So shouts to Fight Ready. Again, Extreme Couture winner. But now we parlay this into the Trainer and Coach of the Year award. So Extreme Couture wins our Fight Night Picks Gym of the Year award. Agree, disagree, let us know down in the comments section. We're all playing where the points are free and nobody cares. But in this one instance, Extreme Couture wins. So you have Eric Nixick over with Extreme Couture. But he already won an award, so we got to get a little squirrely with this. And for our Trainer slash Coach of the Year award, we have Trevor Whitman, John Wood from Syndicate, Henry Hooft from Sanford MMA, Marcos D'Amata, actually, from American Top Team. We didn't go with Mike Brown in this one, Matt. And we also have Eugene Behrman from City Kickboxing. For Marcos D'Amata, I wanted to go with him because Mike Brown always gets mentioned as Coach of the Year. So I figured, let's switch it up. We could go Conan Silvera, but everybody seems to talk about Marcos D'Amata and the things that he's able to do with their games. I know he's got pictures, and some of these people might not have won their fights recently, but that's neither here nor there. Amanda Hibas, you've got so many big fighters from there that I can go down through, but Matheus Gamrot, a guy who all of a sudden is he male fighter of the year from 2021. There's so many positive things that he does with the jiu-jitsu games and the small little aspects in the games of the pro fighters at ATT that I wanted to give him his shine as a winner for Trainer and Coach of the Year, somebody that's nominated for the award. Now, last year, Eric Albarracin was actually our winner for this award, but Patricio Pitbull's not the champ anymore. Patricky is, so that's pretty cool. But again, Henry Cejudo's not active. So Eric Albarracin kind of gets thrown by the wayside. But when we look at this one, Matt, John Wood with Syndicate, they've kind of been able to build a stable of stars. Sean Strickland moves over there from
done wonders.
Kings MMA. An awesome story. There's so many. Jordan Levitt, look at the finish he got in his last fight. There's so many good fighters that train out of Syndicate, and John Wood does a great job with his fighters, and he does a great job of cornering. But when I look at this one, Matt, Hooft, he's always there. Eugene Behrman has his two big champions and a great roster of stars. But for me, this is another one of those awards that it seems to be there's a big-time frontrunner.
So when we talk about Gym of the Year, you do talk about, you know, there's 50 fighters at this gym, and maybe 40 of them had good years, 10 of them not so much, so how do we really rate the big gym? With the Trainer of the Year, it is a little bit more personalized, and one of the trainers on this list is almost fortunate enough to really only train three fighters primarily right now. And those three fighters are Rose Namajunas, currently a UFC champion, Kamaru Usman, the number one ranked pound-for-pound fighter in the world, and also a UFC champion. Oh, and Justin Gaethje, you may have heard of him, the number one ranked UFC lightweight, not a champion, but is expected to get a title shot in the near future.
Do you remember the main card for UFC 268? Because those three fighters all won on that. That's crazy.
It really is. And the crazy thing about Trevor Whitman is, I don't think he cares if any of his fighters win or lose. Like, he's just really happy to be there for all the excitement. Like, Trevor Whitman's the type of guy who would wear a shirt that says Yay Sports to a baseball game because he's just happy to see the sport itself. And I think Trevor Whitman deserves Trainer Coach of the Year because, like we said, he's only got three fighters, and they're three of the most successful fighters in the UFC right now.
And all of the stars that come in and out of the gym, Onyx Sports, in Colorado, there's so many different people we could shout out. I mean, Rafa Garcia is one of those guys. They bring him in for Justin Gaethje. There's different guys that get brought in for different fighters. But for Trevor Whitman, the personalized training has really, really worked for those three top-level athletes. Your champ at 115, Rose Namajunas, your champ at pound-for-pound, King Kamaru Usman, and future title challenger, Justin Gaethje, and I'm not afraid to say that. He's going to get Charlie Olives in 2022. Our Trainer Coach of the Year, Trevor Whitman with Onyx Sports. I think it's very deserving. You let us know down below in the comments section who you think should win this award. Could it be Mike Brown? Could it be Silvera? Could it be Marcos D'Amata? Behrman, Hooft, Wood. So many different deserving people out there. The Hickman brothers and their new gym, Bang Tao. There's so many different people as well that are deserving. But for us in 2021, Trevor Whitman, the winner of your Trainer Coach of the Year. Hey fellas, this episode of Fight Night Picks is brought to you by our favorite producers of ball trimmers, Manscaped. The leaders in below the waist grooming are leaving 2021 with new product. Clean yourself into the new year with their ultra premium body wash. Listen, I've got some of it right here. And hey, also, there's a special alert offer. Use code FNP for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. 4 million men already trust Manscaped. It's time for you to join them. Matt, for you, what was the host of 2021? What was your favorite highlight from 2021 as a host of this show? And what are you looking forward to in 2022?
That's a really hard question to answer. I'm trying to think. MMA related. I was really happy to see Charles Oliveira win the lightweight title. That was a feel-good story. He had been a really good fighter, but people thought, he's kind of shy of greatness. But he eventually went on to become the champ, so I think that was a great feel-good highlight of 2021.
For me, I'm going to stick with the lightweight division. Jim Miller getting back to business. Cold cocking a man on short notice in Eric Gonzalez. And in 2022, I can't wait for more great MMA content, collaborating a little bit more with the fans in the comments section, YouTube community tab, on social media. What about for you next year?
Just keep on growing the channel, making some predictions, learning more about fights, because that's the great thing about this. You're just trying to learn more about these fighters and sort of tell their stories.
So, listen, yeah. In 2022, it's on its way, and the last thing you want is to be the guy with pubes getting in your way of making a splash and upping your grooming game. Listen, their signature lawnmower 4.0, it's here to take down every pube in its path. Look, I've got one in the performance package. Boom goes the dynamite. A me with a horseshoe mustache. You know that I'm all up in the grooming game and I'm using Manscaped, not on my face, but everywhere else that it's needed.
Wow.
And then again, every single week, week in, week out, what can you tell me about the Lawnmower 4.0?
Well, here's the thing. I know that you use it a lot more than I do and that you have to use it. as you do your great demonstration right now. The cool thing about it is that you haven't had to resharpen it yet, and you've been using it for about a year, and I know you get great use out of it.
Well, the Weed Whacker, it does get its use, the Lawnmower 4.0 as well. And then, listen, we got to talk about being clean, feeling and smelling good. They have their new Ultra Premium Body Wash from Manscaped. It solves all three for the perfect addition to your daily grooming routine. But in the shower, listen, I shower every day. Honest to goodness, I kind of hope that you do too. And this body wash that I have, that I've posted up next to myself right here, it's infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized. With Manscaped, you'll be a brand new man, ready to kick all the gross hair and smells out with 2021. And I've also got, for good measure, the 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. I used these this morning in the shower. I grabbed them. They were still a little bit wet on the bottoms. They are in metal bottles. It's kind of cool and neat stuff there. So make sure you use the code FNP for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. I know Donnie Dimes did over there on Twitter. He posted it up on Christmas. He said his girl got it for him. Use the promo code Donnie. We really do appreciate that. You're helping out the channel. I'm all in on confidence and smelling good this year. Join me with Manscaped. Get 20% off for free shipping with the code FNP at Manscaped. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code FNP. Happy New Year to your balls. We have so many more awards to give away. I can't wait for it. So obviously we always say with Fight Nate Picks,
let's get into it.
...2021 Fight Night Picks Performance of the Year, and there were so many great performances this year. Now, this one's a contentious one between the two of us, and for honorable mentions, I mean, listen, I've got a couple of different ones. Remember that time Vicente Luque fought Tyron Woodley? Now, listen, Tyron Woodley at this point of the game is a little bit of a sideshow and a joke in the boxing community and the MMA community. At one point, he was considered among the welterweight elite and one of the greatest welterweights of all time, but sometimes you ruin your legacy, and that's just what's happened. But the way that Vicente Luque finished that fight and the performance he put on was absolutely amazing. The five nominees that we have, Max Holloway over Calvin Kattar, an insane accumulation of damage. Sean O'Malley beating Chris Moutinho the way that he did, showing off in that one and showing out. Tom Aspinall to box with Andre Arlovsky, to beat him in the boxing and then decide, you know what? We're taking it to the ground. I'm finishing this fight. That was unheard of, especially in the run of, you know, Andre Arlovsky fooling up-and-comers lately. That was an insane way to get that one done. Islam Makhachev over Dan Hooker. Again, Hooker win or lose is always a tough and competitive fight. For Islam Makhachev, just go, well, this fight's over. And then Khamzat Chimaev, to have that length of time off between performances. Again, he was among our 2020 male fighters of the year. He only competed once this year. He beat Li Jingliang so easy and so quickly. It was over in the blink of an eye. That was insane. But Matt, performance of the year, I know you've got a bone to pick. Cyril Gane winning the interim title over Derek Lewis, and it's not even on the list.
I'm going to be mad here for a second. You didn't put the winner on the list, even though I texted you, this is my winner, and it's not even close. Cyril Gane flew from France to Texas, knocked out a guy who lives in Texas for a UFC belt, and didn't get hit while he did it. How is that not the best performance of the year? Derek Lewis knocks people dead when he touches them, had one of the biggest underdog victories of the year when he knocked out Curtis Blaydes, and was able to defend takedowns in that fight, strike with Curtis Blaydes on the outside, and look to affix a lot of holes that we thought Derek Lewis had in his game. And then Cyril Gane went out there and made it look like he didn't even belong in the UFC. Oh, and is Derek Lewis shot? No, he was able to go out there and knock out an up-and-comer his next time out, so we know Derek Lewis is still one of the top fighters in the world. I don't know how we can't give this award to Cyril Gane. When you put it all together, he won a title this year by flying across the world to his opponent's hometown, knocking him out in the third round, and not eating a true significant strike the whole fight. Listen, what Tom Aspinall did to Andre Arlovsky was impressive, but Andre Arlovsky is 44 years old and can't take a clean punch anymore. He got dropped by a shot in the feet, and then Aspinall figured, okay, I'm not going to knock him out with ground and pound, I'll choke him out instead. It's impressive, but I just don't think beating defeating Arlovsky at this stage of his career is nearly as impressive as Cyril Gane flying across the world and beating Derek Lewis for a UFC title. I'm sorry.
Most fighters fly across the world to fight, so that doesn't matter.
No. When you're a guy's hometown.
When you're a giant favorite to win, that there's also that to consider.
Sean O'Malley and Tom Aspinall and Chimaev and Makhachev were all big favorites.
And put on giant performances. And to fight guys that are willing to go out there, Chris Moutinho was able to land some shots in that fight. And don't get me wrong, for Lewis
why it
to shell up, that's one of those ones where, hey, it happens. But that's the thing. It happens in Derek Lewis fights.
Chris Moutinho, you've openly said, is not a UFC caliber fighter, and he landed shots on Sean O'Malley. So that means Sean O'Malley's performance is not as impressive.
Not one single bit. My Performance of the Year award goes to Max Holloway over Calvin Kattar. I mean, listen, you're going to take on a guy that can box, and you're just going to stand there and box with him and land as many shots as Max Holloway did. That was absolutely insane. To call your shot, to chat with the broadcast, and to do what Max Holloway did, it was amazing. Oh, and it was 5 rounds. It's absolutely crazy. Now, for Holloway, he has that performance against Calvin Kattar, which I consider a performance of the year. And then to have a fight of the year contender against Yair Rodriguez, it's absolutely insane. Now, to back it up to Cyril Gane, it's going to seem like for me not to pick him as a performance of the year. I've never liked Cyril Gane. I've never done anything.
He should be on the list.
This is a channel built on Gane. But for me, again, for Max Holloway to go out there to put on another performance like that, to get his chance to say, hey, I deserve another fight with Volkanovski, and then I have to go out there against Rodriguez and have a fight of the year. That stuff is insane in and of itself. For you, you're going with Gane against Lewis. For me, I'm going with Holloway against Kattar. But again, there's so many other fights out there to whittle down this list. It was so, so difficult. So let us know down below in the comments section who you have, because we've had some wild performances this year.
Just because we barely talked about him, Khamzat Chimaev very well could win this for his performance over Jack Hermanson in a wrestling tournament. Like, that's how good of a year Khamzat had. I know he had such a hot 2020. He had that long layoff. We didn't really know what version of Chimaev we were going to get when he came back. But for him to look so good against Li Jingliang in his return fight, and then also had that sort of weird grappling match with Jack Hermanson where, oddly enough, Chimaev looked way bigger than Hermanson in, but he still did very well. And I feel like Chimaev had a very good bounce back year, and he was very much in need of one.
Big time award. Matt's got it to Cyril Gane for his win over Derek Lewis. I'm giving it to Max Holloway over Kattar. You let us know who gets your Performance of the Year award, and we'll move on to another big award next. Another quirky award with Fight Night Picks. We have the most anticipated event of the year. Now, it was the event of the year. This is most anticipated. When you look at the name value that's just there on the page and gauge your excitement level, we have 5 contenders, but listen, this list could be another one that's a mile long. You might have had a good regional scene card close to home with you that resonated and you were amped up and psyched up to watch it. But for us, the list is UFC 257, 259, 266, Bellator 263, and the PFL Championships at the end of the year. Because listen, it's not every day that you have 6 people fighting for an opportunity at $1 million each and then a loaded prelim card. Matt, I'll hand this one off to you. I'm excited about this one looking back because, again, now we get to see who won. We get to see all the names. But the anticipation and the buildup is what keeps us going in this. Yeah. So for you, I know we talked about this beforehand. This is a really tough award to give
away. It is a really tough award to give away. But the good thing is that there's no right answers. It's, what were you the most excited for? Whatever you were the most excited for. But for me, I had to put myself back to the mindset of going into UFC 259. It was before Israel Adesanya had moved up in weight to fight Jan Blachowicz. It's a great card if you look back at it. 3 title fights, which those are always the great cards when you've got the 3 title fights at the top. But there was Aljamain Sterling versus Piotr Jan, which was a phenomenal fight ending with a lot of controversy, but it was still a great fight. And now Piotr Jan is the interim champ. Hopefully we can get that rematch in the near future. But that was a super exciting one. In the co-main event, Amanda Nunes, Megan Anderson. Now, I'll be honest, maybe that wasn't the best fight on the card, but still, anytime Amanda Nunes is fighting, it's always a really exciting time. And you kind of knew what she was going to do with Megan Anderson before that fight, and she went out there and delivered. But Jan Blachowicz versus Adesanya was such a fun fight, and it was such an interesting fight because the storyline was, if Adesanya wins this, it's Jon Jones. It's not only Jon Jones. He was talking about potentially moving up to heavyweight and fighting Stipe Miocic, because this was before Francis had knocked out Stipe and got the title. So you just have to think, if Israel Adesanya was able to beat Jan Blachowicz that night, just how different the UFC would be right now.
Well, when we look at these three, I mean, 257, you gotta go with that. That was Poirier McGregor 2, but they hadn't fought in years and years. Chandler coming into the UFC to take on Dan Hooker. You've got a title eliminator between Jeskai and Joanne Calderwood, but it wasn't. You had Mahmoud Muradov taking on Andrew Sanchez, Armin Zarukian and Matt Frivola. That was on super short notice at the end. You had Potato Gate for that fight, so that was kind of crazy. Amanda Ribas, Marina Rodriguez, and so on and so forth. Now, it's kind of crazy because Shoeface is on this card, and he's also on another contender being PFL Championships. I got to be honest, cards on the table. If I take myself back, we didn't do really anything for this card. My winner's PFL Championships, and the reason is, how often do you have six title fights on one card? I mean, I look at it. Kayla Harrison fights Taylor Guardado. Ray Cooper III fighting Magomed Sharipov. Okay, so there's two. Bruno Capiloza fighting Anche Dalia. There's three. Mavlid Haibuliev, Chris Wade. There's four. Shoeface fighting Martin Hamlet. That's five. And then they show Martin's, family and friends over in Norway, where they're just huddled into a kitchen. There's like five of them. That was really weird during that one. And Haush Manfial, Loic Rajabov. You had Jordan Young, who his untimely passing, I mean, it really is sad. He was an early interview with Fight Night Picks in 2018 with me, but he had a wild win over Omari Akhmedov. Julia Budd makes her debut, former Bellator champ. And Dawn Madge, who could have been a great thing with the UFC at lightweight. And I was there to see him fight when he fought T. Edwards, which is crazy, but I absolutely was amped up for that card. I get to watch it with our dad in Halifax, of all places. He was excited for it. So for me, that was the one that really mattered. I ended up, like, it mattered that much that I bought the poster and put it up in the corner of the office. I absolutely love the card when I did watch it, but I was so excited for that one. Again, all of these ones. We didn't even talk about 266 and Bellator, but 266, Christakis, Shamil Dukhimov, Dan Hooker, Nasser Haqparast. The circumstances around that fight were wild. Andrade Calvillo, Blades Rozenstruik, Robbie Lawler, Nick Diaz. I mean, fill us in on that one, because that was such a weird fight week.
It wasn't. Honestly, that's why this isn't the main, like, the winner for me, because that's what I tried to do. I tried to put myself into what was my mindset the week before the fight happened. And yeah, I was really excited for this card, but it was so weird with Nick Diaz, like, showing up, mumbling in interviews, but then being, like, extremely eloquent in some other interviews, and then being like, hey, I kind of hate cutting weight. What if we weighed in at 185 pounds? And Robbie Lawler the whole time was like, yep, I don't care. Perfect. Whatever. Sure. He just agreed to everything, which was really nice, but it was just such a weird fight week. Now, it did deliver. Like, Robbie Lawler versus Nick Diaz, I went back and rewatched it this week, was a really good fight. Like, Nick Diaz looked really good, all things considered. I know that's a weird thing to say. And then, of course, the fact that it was headlined by the, well, we're not giving away that award yet, but the fight that is widely considered fight of the year in Brian Ortega, Alexander Volkanovski, just such a great way to end that event. But again, it's what was the most anticipated event. And for me, I think it was 259 just because of the potential storylines leaving that event. I was so excited that if Adesanya could win the light heavyweight title, could he potentially go up and try to get the heavyweight title too? Like, that was a real storyline at one point. So I think for me, it was 259.
Bellator 263, before we go too far, look at the friggin' prelims. Georgi Karahanyan, Kiefer Crosby. You've got Kazan Magomed Sharipov taking on Jonathan Kiros. You've got Daniel Carrier and Gaji Rabadanov. You have Vanessa Porto against Alara Jawani, who was going to be a superstar at one point. Vanessa Porto, the underground champ. Gyöngyi Yamauchi taking on Chris Gonzalez, the way that he finished him. Islam Mamedov taking on Brent Primus. Again, forget about the finishes, but Usman Nurmagomedov, Manny Muro. Manny Muro, of course, beat Nick Newell a few years ago. Emmanuel Sanchez, Mads Brunel, and then AJ McKee winning the title against Patricio Pitbull. But even before that, it was the finale of that Grand Prix. Absolutely love that card. You let us know down below. Most anticipated event of the year. Put yourself in the headspace of, what was I excited for? Was it 257 with Poirier and McGregor? Like I said, I'm back and rewatch these. That one was a lot of fun. So you let us know down below in the comments section, but you're really going to like our next category and the next award we're going to give away. With 1,600 total votes in our YouTube community tab, this was one of the most contentious awards that we will be handing out. Your 2021 Fight Night Picks Rookie of the Year. And there were so many rookies into the big shows that were able to show up and show out. And I'm going to give shouts to everybody outside of this top five. Now, there's a couple of fighters here that I don't have listed just because they're not really rookies to some of the bigger promotions. Chris Curtis is one of them. Huge impact in the UFC, but he had experience over with the PFL. He's been around for a very long time, so I just can't consider him for this one. I have him as my 2021 Fighter of the Year. I feel good with giving him that. Bruno Silva's another guy. He's right there. He competed with M1 Global. He was a champ there. He had an amazing 2021, but he's competed with some of the bigger promotions or a bigger promotion. I have a hard time, but my honorable mentions list, and I said it was a mile long. Mason Jones, again, his fight with David Onama. David Onama, also considered there. Paddy Pimblett, a lot of people even have him as their rookie of the year. Only the one fight with the UFC, but a great one against Luigi Benjamini. Archie Colgan over with Bellator. You want to go see a guy that had himself a year. Archie Colgan, a guy that you got to watch out for in 2022. Silva, again, he's there. Manon Fiorot, didn't want to throw her into rookie of the year because we had her as a female fighter of the year contender, but she had an amazing rookie year as well. Just wanted to give more shine for this award. Michael Chandler was a rookie in the UFC, but a former Bellator champ. Ian Gary, but he withstood some adversity and some people didn't like that one, so we move on. Ricky Tercios.
I was going to say, you took a long time to get to that name and I was getting worried.
Ricky Tercios, who had an amazing run over on The Ultimate Fighter. His crazy fight against Brady Hystand. Who won that fight? Split decision fight. Ricky's but fine. Brady Hystand had a great fight, but Ricky Tercios in consideration, an honorable mention for sure, and I can't wait to see him fight again. Albert Duraev, former champ with ACB, a long time away, wins on Contender Series, comes into the UFC and has a huge win and an amazing fight his last time out. And the two other names that I had, Matt, Danny Sabatello, who had been around, he was on Contender Series at one point, big time over with Bellator. And then the last fighter that I have, you know, wins and losses, what have you, but Lupi Godina is now a big time fan favorite. And she is. She really is. She
was
mentioned
like 1 and 2 this year, wasn't she?
She was mentioned a lot in the comments. So to throw it on over to the YouTube community tab, a lot of love for Chris Curtis. Akash Deep Singh was really impressed with Ricky Tercios. Love his attitude. Fighting style is sick. We also have UFC expert analysis, Usman Nurmagomedov. Arthur Shapiro saying Michael Chandler. The Blue Dash, probably Casey O'Neill. So Matt, we get into the names that are on this list. We have Aaron Blanchfield, Casey O'Neill, Usman Nurmagomedov, Terrence McKinney, and Jeff Molina. And Matt, all of these fighters, amazing years. Now, Terrence McKinney capped it with that win that he had over Matt Frivola in his debut. But the reason why he's definitely on this list, that's the debut. And he's supposed to fight Faraz Ziyem, that fight rebooked to February. His 2021 first round finish in 16 seconds, first round finish in 17 seconds, first round finish in a minute 12, and then he comes into the UFC and wins a fight in 7 seconds. I don't know how you can't have him as a rookie of the year.
He's at least nominated, but this is the thing. It really depends on how you want to judge this award and how you look at this award. Because for rookie of the year, or at least how I'm giving this award out, is what rookie do I envision fighting for the title first? Or who do I think can at least get to that title shot or become an elite fighter in their division first? And for me, when I look at this list of names, it's nothing against Ian Gary, but like you said, against Williams, he did get hit quite a bit. He looked really good, but there were a few negatives. Same thing with Paddy Pimblett, honestly. Like, yeah, he looked really good against Luigi Benjamini, but if we want to start nitpicking, he got hit by some big shots against Benjamini. Aaron Blanchfield went out there, though, and pretty much dominated everybody she fought. And I gotta be honest, when I look at Valentina Shevchenko and all the success that she's had, and basically how she's never really had a competitive fight, Aaron Blanchfield can at least match some of the things that Valentina Shevchenko has struggled with. Can Aaron Blanchfield get on top of people? Yeah, she can. Is she really heavy in that top position? Yes, she is. I honestly think Blanchfield can take a lot of the positives from Jennifer Maia, take some of the positives from Jessica Andrade, and really start building her game towards the top of this division.
Well, when we look at all of these nominees, because Matt is kind of like a thief in the night and likes to go for the jugular quick, when we look at Usman Nurmagomedov, he's a guy, again, at 14-0, he comes over into Bellator, he beats Mike Hamill, he beats Manny Miro, he beats Patrick Patilia, his last time out, and again, his last two wins, first round finishes, he's making his way up the ladder in his division. For Casey O'Neill, we talked about her again. We had her as a contender for Female Fighter of the Year. Beats Shannon Dobson, beats Laura Procopio, beats Antonina Shevchenko. She's now going to be fighting Roxanne Modafferi. McKinney, the wins outside of the UFC. And for Jeff Molina, he beats Jacob Silva on Contender Series last summer. Beats Archie Long at UFC 261 and gets a fight of the night. And then he fights Daniel Da Silva and finishes him in the second round. You might go, okay, Daniel Da Silva wasn't that good. But he was good. Like, we were giving him shine before he came into the UFC. So big wins for Jeff Molina. Erin Blanchfield, the runaway winner with the fans. Again, 1,600 total votes. She gets 37%. And I'm in agreement with you on this one. I mean, again, she comes in from Invicta. She didn't lose to Tracy Cortez, but it's a loss on her record. She loses that one by split decision. But everything considered, all of the wins she has in her career, to come in and brutalize Sarah Alpar, to accept a fight against Norma Dumont that was supposed to be a debut at 135 when she's a 125er, and then to beat Miranda Maverick her last time out, which was on short notice for both women because originally it was supposed to be Macy Barber. But the way that she won that fight and utilized the strengths of Miranda Maverick to get it done, Erin Blanchfield, our 2021 Fight Night Picks Rookie of the Year. And Matt, quite honestly, again, Manon Fiorot was a rookie. Casey O'Neill was a rookie. I have this one to say because we want to split everything up between some of these and not give everybody the same award and so on and so forth. 125 pounds with Blanchfield, O'Neill, and Fiorot. That division is really on the up and up right
now. That's a really good point. It's like when the Clippers had like three guys who all could have been six man of the year and like Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, and like Danilo Gallinari. Like, it's a good problem to have when you have all these promising young talents in the division, because maybe you think Casey O'Neill has a higher ceiling than Erin Blanchfield. I can't really disagree with you. It's just personally, I really do think Blanchfield has all the intangibles you look at when you try to look for fighters who are going to be in the top five of their division one day. And like you said, I think we can expect all three of those ladies to be in the top 10, top 15 for years to come.
And Fiorito with a big fight on the horizon against Jessica Ai, the former title challenger. Ooh. So many names out there. I had so many honorable mentions. You let me know down below if we missed a Rookie of the Year contender, because that list goes on and on and on. But Erin Blanchfield, our winner for 2021, and we have a few more contentious awards to hand out. And we will enter the comments section once more. I'm really excited about this one. Round of the Year in 2021. Now, some of these fights might not necessarily be considered for Fight of the Year, and I'll give you an example. Carlos Felipe, Justin Toffa. I went back and watched that one Christmas Day, and I had the family around me. I said, listen, you want to see something fun? The first round, okay, that was a little bit one-sided. Justin Toffa won that round. We can agree on that. Judges couldn't, but we can agree on that, right? Round two, round three, which one is considered for Round of the Year? So I went back, I watched them both, and then I showed the family both of those rounds, and they absolutely loved it. But round one wasn't as great, so that's why that's not a Fight of the Year. But you go back and watch round two and round three of Felipe Toffa. Those guys are throwing body shots, hooks from distance. They're throwing kicks. They're hitting each other flush to the head. And then in the third round, and that's why this is on here, they go head to head and just start hitting each other as hard as they can. It was an absolutely amazing fight. And out of 1,200 votes in the YouTube community tab, that got 2% of the friggin' vote. I gotta give that one flowers. That fight, if you didn't see it, go back and watch it. I know you loved it.
It was a phenomenal fight, because here's the thing. Do you know what sucks in MMA? Let's just be honest. Unranked heavyweights in the third round.
I am honest now with the breakdowns and previews that unranked heavyweight fights are either the best fight you're going to see on the weekend or the worst fight you're going to see.
They're the best fight for 3 minutes, and then they always devolve into the worst fight you've ever seen. So I got to be honest. When Carlos Felipe versus Justin Tava got into the third round, especially after how exciting their second round was, I thought to myself, there's no way these guys have any more energy to throw massive bombs. And that's all they did for the remaining 5 minutes. So I am really glad that we did give that fight a little bit of shine. But when we want to talk about third rounds and just overcoming adversity and having wild fights, Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega is one of the great title fights of all time. And we could honestly pick about three different rounds just from that fight to be represented in this top five list. But round three of that fight was absolutely phenomenal. You have Ortega kind of dropping Volkanovski, catches that kick, hits him with a good shot. Then he gets Alexander Volkanovski in one of the deepest submissions of all time. And I know Craig gets mad when I say this, but Sometimes we see fighters tap a little early to submissions when they get tired and when things aren't going their way.
But not that time.
Sometimes we see Alexander Volkanovski like stare Brian Ortega dead in the eyes and just be like, no, I'm not losing today and I'm not tapping out to this submission. And then he puts an absolute beating on Brian Ortega. And the great thing about that round and the great thing about that fight was that how often can we leave an MMA fight and say they made grappling really, really fun? Like, it's really hard to convince, and I don't like using this term, but it's hard to convince sort of the casual audience that, wow, grappling really can be entertaining. But Volkanovski and Brian Ortega showed that, no, we're not only dangerous on our feet, but we can show how dangerous now back and forth a fight could be on the mat, too.
Well, if we go to the other contenders, Max Holloway, Rodriguez, round 5, they absolutely went after it. But this is a tricky one. So we'll go through the percentages again. The other one that we have on this list, and this was such a tough one. There's so many different ones you could go with. So the third round of Molina and Archie Long, that was UFC 261. That one fight of the night. And when Usman Masvidal is in the main event, and you have a giant card, that would, you know, that's an honorable mention for most anticipated event of the year. But when I look at that fight, not a lot of people talk about it. Jeff Molina had a good first round, a good second round, and then he started to fall off just a little bit. Archie Long took so much punishment. And then in the third round, he storms back. They go at it. And Archie Long, if that went into a fourth round, he might have even gotten the finish in that fight. It was amazing. And I know you really liked that one, too.
It was a great fight. It was one of those star-making performances in a UFC debut. Because when you are the first fight of the night on a big pay-per-view, like, that's a big opportunity to really set yourself apart from just your average unranked fighter. And look at Jeff Molina now. Like, he wasn't nominated for Fighter of the Year or Prospect of the Year, but he's on the edge of both those things. Like, Jeff Molina really, he truly is, like, one of those elite talents that stands out on the page. So Jeff Molina not only had a great round or a great moment, but he just had a great year in general.
Your other Marlon Moraes taking on Rob Duashvili in the first round. Early stoppages, late stoppages, no stoppages. And for Marab, listen, he had that fight against Ricky Simone. He was kicking the bicycle and Ricky Simone ends up winning the fight at the end of the third round, gets a finish. It was weird. Marab and Marlon was one of the wildest sequences of events where he gets rocked, he gets rocked, he gets rocked, and then he keeps fighting. It was amazing stuff.
It was like Kevin Lee versus Edson Barboza part 2, basically, because Marab was out, like out, completely knocked out, like flatlined unconscious, and kept on eating shots with his hands down by his side. And then the ref was like, ah, I'm sure he'll be fine, just let him continue to eat this punishment.
And he was.
And he won the fight, which is the craziest thing. Like, I don't know how we couldn't give this round some sort of a shout-out, but the thing that separates that round from some of the other ones is that it was so one-sided for the first half of it, and then so one-sided for the second half of it. It wasn't like it was, oh wow, it was so back and forth for the total of 5 minutes. It was one-way traffic from Marlon for the first 3 minutes, and then it was one-way traffic from Marab the last two.
1,200 votes out there in the YouTube community tab. We left out Molina and Archie Long, and as I said, Felipe and Toff only got 2% of the vote. 18% to Moraes and Duashvili for their first round, 13% for Holloway Rodriguez in the fifth round, 64% for round 3, Volkanovski Ortega, and 4% with other explained below. Down to the comments section, Angelo Kaz saying what's crazy is that Volkanovski Ortega and Moraes Marab were on the same night. Both crazy fights. We have Phantom missing. I'll go with Marab versus Moraes for sure. Honorable mentions for me are, Woodley versus Luque, Gaethje versus Chandler round 1, and Nunes Pena round 2. Seeing them bang it out at the bar and seeing Nunes slowly lose was unreal. Everybody was in shock, and I won't ever forget that. LOL. And if I can give one more, Matt, Sume said a round no one talks about was Woodley versus Luque round 1. Good. That was insane. Another round was Chandler Oliveira round 1, 2. There's so many comments and so many great fans out there, Matt. And yeah, that was a fight for Woodley where I'm on a losing streak. Do I go out on my shield? And he really threw everything at Luque in that one.
He did, but the problem was he ended up getting knocked out, submitted, and choked unconscious, basically, all in the same fight. And you hate it when that happens. But I think this is a pretty clear-cut winner. Volkanovski, Brian Ortega, round 3, might not just be the best round of 2021. It might be one of the best rounds ever, if we're being honest. It had everything you want when you like a high-level MMA fight. It had great striking, great grappling exchanges, and it was back and forth. It wasn't just all Ortega early, then all Volkanovski late. It was Ortega early with a submission attempt, Volkanovski the middle of the round, then Ortega gets the triangle choke, and then we get more Volkanovski ground and pound. Like, it had so many ebbs and flows. It was one of the best rounds you'll ever see.
Absolutely amazing. The amount of fights, the quality of fights that we had. You let us know down below who you had for round of the year, but our award this year going to the third round of Volkanovski Ortega. Maybe a fight of the year contender. Let's move into that category. Your fight of the year of 2021. So many great fights in 2021. And as I've said for so many of these awards, you could have been at a regional scene and you saw two amateurs go at it, and they deserve some shine. If that's the case, let us know down below in the comments section, because listen, I wouldn't put it past anybody to consider one of those fights out there. For everybody that's out there competing in MMA, we want to give you as much shine as possible. But in this category, Matt, for fight of the year, I had a hard time narrowing it down to five. We had a really hard time on this one, specifically because Mason Jones was involved in not one, but two fight of the year contenders. One of them won fight of the night. One of them didn't even win fight of the night on the card that it was on, and I still hold that personally, because Gregory Rodriguez getting the win over Jin Young Park, one fight of the night, over Mason Jones, David Onama. And I went back, I watched that fight, I watched all of these fights, but I went back and watched that fight and his fight against Mike Davis with a fine-tooth comb. And I'm here to tell you that, yes, Jones Davis is nominated for fight of the year. David Onama came in on a week's notice, up a weight class, and outstruck Mason Jones in that fight. However, Mason Jones battles adversity in camp. He comes into the fight and he used his superior wrestling skills in pockets to win that fight. But I'm telling you, David Onama at 145 pounds when he's ready to fight, that guy's a problem. That guy's a problem. And I have that to say in the fight of the year category, Matt.
I mean, I get, sure.
You're an idiot if you don't believe me.
Well, but no, David Onama doesn't have that much to do with their fight of the year.
He had an amazing fight, and it takes two to tango, and we have to say that for all of these. But Mike Davis, Mason Jones, Matt, I have as a fight of the year, because those guys were throwing hammers from the start until the end, and you could make a case for either guy winning that fight. I scored round one and round three for Davis. The scorecards on MMA decisions were all over the place. There were 30-27s for Jones, for Davis, and split between 29-28. I absolutely love that fight when I watched
it. It was a phenomenal fight, and it was so well matched, too. Like, both guys kind of have the exact same strengths, and that's why the fight was so good, because Jones would constantly try to get into the pocket, and Mike Davis would make him eat some power shots because of it. And it was just rinse and repeat, and they stayed consistent throughout the 15 minutes. There wasn't a big drop-off in the third round, and it was just such a great fight to watch. But I feel like I need to throw an honorable mention right now, because this fight, for me, really kicked off the whole conversation of what is the fight of the year this year. Miguel Baeza versus Santiago Ponzinibbio isn't on this list, but it happened early on in June, and to me, it felt like we didn't really have a favorite, or it felt like the conversation hadn't at least started until that fight happened. That was the first fight of the year that people kind of pointed to, and they were like, okay, when we talk about fight of the year, you start with Baeza Ponzinibbio, then we'll kind of work our way down from there, because it is sort of odd. Like, Gaethje Chandler just happened in the past couple of months. Volkanovski Ortega, same thing. Holloway Rodriguez, Burgos Portillo. A lot of these fights are from the second half of the year, so I feel like we should just give Baeza and Ponzinibbio their due for sort of kickstarting this whole conversation.
And the craziest part about this is the fact that on the Gaethje Chandler, Burgos Quarantillo, well, that's all on the same card. Gaethje Chandler happened first, and then you think, oh, well, the best is out of the way. A, it was weird that they didn't have that as kind of like the appetizer to the co-main event. They started the pay-per-view off there. But B, for Burgos and Quarantillo to come through the way they did. Now, does Shane Burgos win that fight? Yeah, but it, again, takes two to tango. Billy Quarantillo showed a wrinkle in his game that he can strike with one of the best boxers out there in Schulman's own Shane Burgos. So we have Holloway Rodriguez, a five-round masterclass, and then Volkanovski Ortega. Now, here's the thing. With the award of fight of the year, the trouble is usually the five-round fights get more of the shine because we get more fights. And so for Holloway Rodriguez, for Volkanovski Ortega, they have that shine to them. But Matt, this was the year where we had some big-time three-rounders, which we didn't really have when we gave the award out last year in 2020.
Exactly, and I've seen a lot of people give this award to Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler, and that was a phenomenal fight. But For me, I gotta be honest, I do still kind of pick one of these two five-round fights because for this reason alone, Yair Rodriguez kind of showed us something we didn't know he was capable of against Max Holloway. I know he lost, but that's one of those losses where you gain a lot of stock even in defeat. He showed incredible heart, which is weird to say when you're talking about a top-ranked fighter, but with Yair, he was one of those guys. Okay, when the going gets tough, how is he gonna look? Him and Holloway absolutely beat the brakes off each other, and the fact that Rodriguez won the fifth round against Max Holloway, a guy who traditionally gets stronger as the fight goes on, after Yair had taken so much punishment, that was such an impressive thing to show in that fight, especially with all the circumstances surrounding. But we talked about Volkanovski Ortega having one of the best rounds of the year. Here's the thing, they didn't really slow down the other four rounds of that fight.
Yeah, when I'm giving this award away, my three-round fight of the year is Mike Davis, Mason Jones. 110%. Like I said, I had a hard time going Davis, Jones, Jones, Onama. Those were so good. Geechee Chandler was so good. It's so hard to pick a winner out of any of these, but I got to give it to a five-rounder. So then I look Holloway and Rodriguez, Volkanovski Ortega. What is the pick here?
I like Volkanovski Ortega, to be honest. Not only was it for a title, but it was two guys who showed off like the best that MMA has to offer. It was high-level striking, high-level grappling, in crazy endurance, in crazy heart and toughness. Like, just everything you want out of like a championship-caliber fight. So it was a phenomenal fight.
Our 2021 Fight of the Year for the title, headlining a pay-per-view, Alexander Volkanovski, Brian Ortega. And for Volkanovski, showed off the counter-wrestling, the ability to scramble and get out of those bad grappling positions. For Brian Ortega, he showed in the Korean Zombie fight, but then even more against Volkanovski. Oh, you're a striker now? It was such a fun fight to watch and such a fun card to go back and rewatch if you get the chance. But our 2021 Fight Night Picks Fight of the Year to Volkanovski and Ortega. The guy's getting it done at 145 pounds. You let us know down below who you have in the fight of the year, because we're about to get into another contentious award with a list a mile long of honorable mentions. And it comes down to this, our 2021 MMA Analyst of the Year award. And my
thank you, Craig. I'm honored. Wow. Oh my goodness. I'm so unprepared. Oh.
So I gotta go, you know, break the fourth wall with everybody on this one, because the point of this award, and last year we had Bisping and Cormier and Felder and Dominic Cruz and those types nominated for this award. But then I looked at it and I thought, okay, there's so many deserving candidates out there that don't get the airtime, don't get the shine. Publish themselves in different medias. And that's why for this year, I decided to kind of break the mold. And I wanted to ask the fans who they had. And it went into total chaos. And I'm really disappointed in a lot of people out there, because our nominees for this award this year, and I thought it went well until it didn't, we have The Weasel, with one of the more successful channels out there at breaking down the fights, doing some predictions, getting the community involved. The Weasel does a great job. Dan Hardy, outside of the UFC, the thing that he's doing with Full Reptile, I absolutely love watching those breakdowns, because what Dan does and what The Weasel do is different than what a Paul Felder can do in the couple of seconds that he gets when he's on the call with Bisping or Fitzgerald, or what a Bilal Muhammad can do up on the desk, or Karen Bryan or Anthony Smith or whoever. So I really like Dan Hardy with the long form media. For me, it's either I have Dan Hardy here or I have Luke Thomas, because their long form breakdowns are what I enjoy watching and what I honestly like doing myself with this channel. So I really gravitate towards that. That's why Dan Hardy made the list. Jack Slack, with all of the stuff he does, the following that he has on Reddit, the way that he's able to convey his analysis of the fight game, I really enjoy digesting that. The fans love it on Reddit, love it on Twitter, but Jack Slack apparently was a very controversial figure to add to this. Laura Sanko, out of the 819 votes, because this poll's only been out there for a few hours on YouTube, has 24% of the votes, but another contentious character. Matt, I'd like to kind of talk about this for a second, because there's a reason I have Laura Sanko on this. She deserves to be in the short list of five. Reason being, she can do everything that everybody does on the UFC broadcast, spin circles around everyone, but at the end of the day, she breaks down fights in a way that you understand, I understand, and somebody that doesn't understand MMA can understand, and she's one of the most pleasant people out there. Plus, she does the LFAs of the world and UFC. She's all over the damn place. she's fought in the past. Like,
why are you so fired up? I agree with you.
This one, again, very, very contentious. So I'm going to reference Twitter on this one. I'm going to reference the community tab. But again, my first one, I'm going to go happy, happy, joy, joy, MMA said, where the f*** are Bisping, Felder, DC, etc.? What is with you screwheads, really? This screwhead had good intentions on this one. And then again, our fifth and final person out there. So again, we have Michael Bisping is the fifth one. Wasn't included on the YouTube community tab because other explained below. And that's where I thought, hey, everybody's going to get positive shine. We're going to have the fight site nominated. We're going to have Ed Gallo nominated possibly. But instead of that, everybody got upset and it decided to become a war of words in the comments section.
And Craig focuses on the negative instead of the positive.
It's all negative. But for me,
no, it's not.
Again, the fight site, downward elbow, heavy hands. There's so many people out there that deserve shine. And that was the purpose of this award, but it descended into chaos. So Matt, we have five deserving characters out there. We'll go through the YouTube community tab. But again, for the five that we have, Bisping, Jack Slack, Dan Hardy, MMA Weasel, Laura Sanko, they all do such a great job, but all in different ways, too.
I agree. I can't really add that much to it, but yeah, they all do add their own unique wrinkle, and they all do their own thing. So really, whoever your favorite analyst of the year is, really, this award is one that you can give to your favorite. Just let your favorite analyst know who you like, because everybody deserves some shine on this list. I really do like the just content that Dan Hardy puts out there, because I gotta be honest, it sort of is similar to our stuff, if we're being completely honest, but he just does it in his own unique way. It's somebody who was in there, he was a fighter, he did do the commentary stuff for the UFC, and now he is on his own, and he is able to branch out and cover not just the UFC, I'll talk about Bellator, I'll talk about other organizations. I really like the post-career just arc of Dan Hardy, because it's nice to see somebody who no longer has to fight, but they're still somewhat involved in the MMA community. It's just really nice to see. It'd be nice if people like, you know, the Diego Sanchez's of the world. I know that's a name that's a little tender to bring up right now. Or the Matt Browns. Like, guys like that, it'd be really nice if more people could make that transition over. And they wouldn't have to fight in the cage, but they could still be a part of the MMA atmosphere and environment.
A lot of people, because the fan base is very strong. MMA Guru. So many people voting for MMA Guru out there in the comments section. Daniel Cassell is saying, gotta go with my guy Chael, who does a great job. Fade the Noise saying Joe Rogan. The Saltiest Salt Shaker saying the Weasel better get the W. And then so on and so forth. Luke Thomas with a lot of different votes out there. If we go over to Twitter, again, where it gets a little contentious, Jack Slack getting some love, getting some hate, saying always fascinated to see a new reimagining of he dunked on me one time. Yeah, that goes a little crazy. Campbell McLaren getting involved and giving his piece on this one.
So Brendan Schaub's the winner.
No, he nominated, already did this with Combate Global Awards, Juliana Pena. He's got Maximiliano Bretos. He's got Ricardo Celis, and he also has Carlos Aguiar. There's so many different people out there. Ben Cohen nominating the fight site. I just want to get as many people to shine they can. Robin Black, Brendan Dorman, Joseph Valtellini. Like, there are so many great people out there. So my point on this one was for everybody to be positive. Mention somebody that you like out there. There's no wrong answers on this one. Matt's got Dan Hardy. For me, I really like Laura Sanko because, again, she's a five-tool player on that broadcast, and I really like the analysis she brings into it because training at Glory MMA and Fitness, getting that experience with the fighters that are there, having fought in the past, but being involved in every single aspect, and then the analysis that she brings over when she's with LFA. But I'm sure, and I'm saying this with, like, you know, I don't have any knowledge, but I'm sure in 2022, she's going to get the opportunity on the UFC broadcast to provide that. And then it's going to be like, oh, really? I didn't know that. So I'm really looking forward to that. But for me, my 2021 MMA Analyst of the Year goes to Laura Sanko. Matt's got it to Dan Hardy, but so, so many deserving people out there.
And like you said, Laura Sanko put herself in a great position for 2022 because she has done everything the UFC has asked her to do except for commentary. She's knocking on that door right now. So hopefully Sanko can get that opportunity in 2022 and then show why she is such a great analyst.
So let us know down below in the comments section who you have for your MMA Analyst of the Year. Who gets those honors? Wasn't meant to be a fight. We're here to have some fun. Matt, that does it for our 2021 Fight Night Picks awards for the end of the year. And listen, it was an amazing year. We had so many deserving candidates. If you had one lasting thing to say about 2021 before you get to 2022, people hate it when you play with your hair.
That's fine.
But what do you have to say about the amazing year that was?
Is that it couldn't have been done without everybody on the other side of their device right now. Yes, I'm talking to you. And you and you and you. Listen, this stuff's fun to do. I love talking about MMA with my brother, but it's also a lot of fun that we have such a loyal fan base and following out there who is interested in the type of content that we've been able to put out. And whether it's question mark kicks, the fight companions, just like Twitter or the YouTube comments, just however you guys are choosing to interact with us, it makes all this stuff worth it. So hopefully we can keep on growing the Fight Night Nation throughout 2022 and just keep this content train moving along.
The challenge was thrown out there and we're almost there to 30,000 subscribers. Once we get there, Dana White's Contender Series breakdowns, we'll have that for the next season, but we got episodes of Perry Encounter that are going to be coming out shortly during the break. That's our Q&A section with you guys. You throw us a question when we ask for it in the community tab on Instagram, what have you, and we do our best to focus an entire video around answering one of those questions, and we'll go through as many as we can and create individual videos. But I absolutely love that at the beginning of 2020, when we were able to do that. It was a lot of fun for me, and I think a lot of people enjoyed it as well. So hopefully you enjoyed the episode. Make sure if you haven't subscribed yet or toss a like, you do as much. Support the sponsors. It's helping to support us as well and keeping the boys moving and shaking into a busy 2020. I absolutely can't wait for it. So as we always say with Fight Night Picks, let's get into it.